You have your Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And also while you're there, if you want to turn back to Acts chapter 15, hold your place on 2 Thessalonians and turn back to Acts chapter 15. Now we're going to go through some stuff tonight. We're going to look at stuff in different directions, different places. This will help you become familiar with your Bible. If you don't use it every day like you should, amen, we'll help you to learn to use it and get to where you need to be. And I tell you, it's good stuff in here. You could never glean it all out. But we sure do appreciate the Lord and what He's able to show us. Amen. Acts chapter 15 and then 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We'll start 2 Thessalonians first, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse number 13. It says, "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." Verse number 18 says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. As we looked at this last week and we looked at the Bible, and it was teaching us about a restrainer, one that was holding back until it was time to let go. Amen. And we seen that, and we seen, and we talked about that, and we said that was none other than God Almighty, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, and how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, how it lives in us through the Holy Spirit, and that restrainer that we're talking about is none other than God Almighty and me and you. Amen. That when we were taken out of here, then the old devil Slewfoot would have his reign for a little while. Now it's going to be short lived. It's not going to be long, but he's going to have his say. But I want to look at this tonight in a little bit of different direction here, if God will be our help. On this thought this evening, the one Jesus lost. The one Jesus lost. Amen. And we look at this tonight and we see Bible teaches us here, and we read in your hearing, that God is coming. He's going to come to take a Gentile bride. Amen. He's going to come take a Gentile bride. That Gentile bride is none other than the church. That's me and you. That's born again believers. And one day in a little while, God is going to come. He's going to send his son with a trump and a shout. He's going to come get me and you and take us on to glory. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. I don't need Brother Bill. It's going to be long. I mean, just a little while, I believe we're going out of here. And then the Bible tells, I read in your hearing in Acts 15, that the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, is going to be rebuilt. Amen. And the residue of man will go into that tabernacle. And that's where worship will be. Now the residue, talk about, if you know what residue is, that's something that's left. Amen. Hey, if you cook and you clean your range, you got residue on it from where you cook. That's what's left after the cooking's done. Amen. I'm going to say, with Jesus, when God Almighty's through with the cooking, I praise God, there's going to be a residue of humanity. Amen. And it's got that's left on earth, praise God. He's going to cleanse and purify, praise God. And they're going to come to this new tabernacle, and they're going to worship God. I said that to say this. God has a blueprint, and that blueprint that he has, he will follow. Amen. He knows exactly what he's doing. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying none of this stuff around us is taking him by surprise. All the stuff that we're seeing today, praise God, is going to come to pass in a little while. Amen. It's going to every bit be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfillment of prophecy, fulfillment of that's been preached, that we've known, we've heard all of our lives. If we ain't careful, we become complacent in that, and we think, well, you know, I've heard it all my life, so it must not going to be happening in my lifetime. And I'll say, any of this could happen tomorrow. Any of this could happen today. It could happen before we pillow our heads tonight, so we need to be ready. Amen. So we don't know what about tomorrow. We know who holds tomorrow, and that's God. Amen. So we see this blueprint, and then we see in this blueprint this man of sin. Amen. And he's literally the devil in the flesh. Amen. And he's going to be revealed when it's, I told you last Wednesday night, he's going to be revealed when it's time for him to be revealed. And I said, he's probably not running around in Pampers now. Amen. He's probably a full-grown person that's ready to step in and when opportunity is there. So we see it come into place, and that's all of an important role in God's plan. Now remember, God is the architect. It's His blueprint. And God's blueprint will be followed to the T, to the letter. He's not going to start making changes in His blueprint at this late stage of the game. Amen. I'm just glad I'm part of the blueprint. You say, what part are you? I'm part of that church, praise God, that goes up to be with Jesus. I'm part of those born-again believers that trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved by His marvelous grace and through His tender mercy, through the blood that was shed on Calvary, praise God, that's been applied to my life. Amen. Amen. And when that blood, I told Teresa a while ago, I was thinking today when I was visiting about that blood that was shed for my sins, and praise God, and I accepted that Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I had my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what we ought to be telling praise God? We ought to be telling them, say, listen, you need to be saved, and you need your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right. You need to know that. Amen. If you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God, God gives you peace. And peace for the journey, peace for the trip, consolation, praise God, when things ain't going well. That you belong to God because your name is on the roll. Yep. Amen, glory, hallelujah. There's nothing like that. Now, in the consummation of this age, we see things that's transpiring around us. But we're coming to the end of this age. And at the end of the age, the Bible said, teaches that there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more heartache. And listen to this. He said, there'll be no more devil. Amen. That's enough to just take recess, shout for about a week. Amen. You realize, praise God, one day in a little while, we're going to get away from the devil. Amen. We'll be in a place where he can't come to us no more. No more devil. Amen. Amen. That's exciting in itself. Amen. Praise God. Now we pack a whole lot off on the devil. We want to blame the devil for every mean, hateful, ungodly thing that we do. Oh, me. We won't blame the... It used to be a silly little thing said, the devil made me do it. No, your old stinking flesh made you do it. Amen. But the devil, praise God, he's an instigator. And he said that one of these days, he's going to be taken out of the way. This man of sin, he's going to be revealed, amen, in his time when it comes time. But who is this man of sin? We pose a question here tonight as we see this. He said that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, who is this man of sin? Who could be more apt to tell us who this man of sin is than the Lord Jesus Christ? If anybody knows, it'll be Jesus. Amen? Look at John chapter number 17. John chapter 17, verse... John chapter 17, verse number 12. Let me go back to verse 11. See, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Talking about his disciples and us, people. Amen. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now, it's already been said tonight that that's what God desires of His people. He desires His people to have a oneness in attitude and a oneness in heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, verse number 20, he said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So the Lord tells us here, He said, all the ones that you gave me, Father, He said, I haven't lost none but one. And He said, the one I've lost is the son of perdition. But He says the reason he's lost is that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Now you say, well, preacher, I just don't understand that. Why would God allow anybody to go through circumstance, situations? I don't know. You'll have to talk it up, God. As for me, I just believe what God says. I'm not going to question God on it because God had a plan and a purpose. It was all part of His blueprint. It was all part of His architect that He designed from the very beginning. I'll just tell you tonight, God Almighty knows who will receive Him and who will reject Him. Amen. He knows exactly because it's His blueprint. Amen. But if you'll remember what I read and you're here in Acts chapter 15 and 18, remember what it said in Acts 15 and 18. It said this. It says, remember this. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Now, I'm saying all this tonight to say this, that God Almighty knows what's happening today. None of this taken by surprise. There's none of the things that's happening today in this world that God can't handle. Now we got this idea that we got to jump in there and help Him. Amen. You know how we can best help God? By bragging on Lord Jesus Christ. By lifting Him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You know, preacher, this world's crazy. It's full of sin, wickedness, iniquity. It's everywhere. We praise God. That's because of sinfulness. Amen. In order to get rid of sin, praise God, we lift up Jesus. Jesus, praise God, is the price of sin. He's that perpetuation. He's that price that was paid so that men, women, boys, and girls can go free. Amen. Praise God. But He said, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. So we see this as a man of sin, the son of perdition. Amen. Praise God. And we see that it's all part of God's plan. Amen. That's all part of it. Amen. So who is the one that Jesus lost? Who is this man, this son, this man of sin, this son of perdition? Now, I'll say again, let's let Jesus answer that. Look at John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. In verse number 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Wow. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the what? 12. Amen. Who is the one that Jesus loved? He was a devil. Amen. Now, he's not a devil. He is the devil. Amen. See, there's probably millions of little old nymphs and devils in the universe. Old preacher said one time, if you could see all the enemy, all the devil, all the adversary that's out there, he said, scare you to death. But he said, we have one imminent adversary, and his name is the devil and Satan. That's who Jesus says this man was. That's who Jesus said this man is. So the next question we have to ask ourselves, could Jesus actually chosen a devil? Amen? Could he actually chosen a devil to be one of his disciples? His supposed close followers of Lord Jesus Christ? Could he? We see that answered in that, and we know that he did. Judas Iscariot, he was one of the 12. Look what he says in John chapter number 13. In John chapter number 13 and verse number 10. Now what's happened is at the supper, and Jesus had girded himself about and he's washing the disciples' feet. Okay? Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He says in verse number 8, he said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, verse number 9, saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, now watch this, verse number 10. John chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all." Amen? He's talking to the disciples. "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet." Because he's talking about you wash, you clean up, you get saved, born again. He said, then you got that daily grime that gets on you. That's like the trip from the bathhouse to your house. Your feet get dirty. So Jesus said, what you got to do, you got to have that daily cleansing, amen, to keep your feet clean. In other words, to keep your body, keep your life from being contaminated. You know what? To help of the fundamental, independent, Bible-believing churches today more than anything, if we had humbled ourselves enough, Brother Bill, to get on our face every day and say, "Lord, please forgive me a sinner. Those things that I've done, Lord, the things I've thought that's contrary to you, Lord, I need you to help me with that. Help me go straight. Help me look up. Help me do right, praise God, for your glory." And do it every day. Jesus said we need that cleansing every day, need a foot washing every day. He said, you disciples, you are all clean, but not all. He said, you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye are not all clean." Amen? So we see the Lord Jesus that he called him, praise God, because he knew who would betray him. And he says unto him, he said, "Ye are not all clean." I'm afraid in the world today that we're living in, there's a whole lot of people profess to be Christians, but they're not all clean. I mean, there's a lot of people that their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I'd make sure it was there because we're living on borrowed time. Amen. Just a little while before we go out of here. So we see that Judas Iscariot was the one that he called, and he said he was a devil. He's the one that Jesus lost. And we see what happened to Judas Iscariot is that he fell. He had a mighty fall. Amen? In Acts chapter number 1, verse 24. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 24, they said this. He said, "And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, Thou knowest the hearts of all men. Show whether these two Thou hast chosen. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." Amen? So we see here that Judas fell. Now let me just say this tonight, and they can just as clear as I know how. You listen to me. Look up here just a second. He fell, but he didn't fall from grace. The disciples tell us that he fell from the ministry and from the apostleship. Let me tell you tonight, youngs, we can be ministers and apostles, say that we follow Jesus and never be saved. Amen? Oh me. That's a fact. We can say it, but never be saved. See, Judas was never saved. Amen. He was never born again. He never became a true child of God. He was never washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. He was lost. He fell in his transgressions. Praise God. And the Bible says that he might go to his own place. What was his transgression? His transgression was betraying Jesus. Amen. His transgression, I'll say that again, was betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. He betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But the Bible, and a lot of times we think, well, Judas, he ended up in hell. I said he got ended up in his place. Let me just say this: hell don't belong to Judas. Hell don't belong to the devil. Amen. That's God. That's the place God set up for those that would be contrary to him. Amen. So he said that he went to his place. It was a special place. Let me tell you where that special place was. It was as part of God's plan. And again, I say I don't understand all I know about that, but I don't question God. God had a special place for Judas Iscariot that he would use. And God said when he rejected him and praise God, that he went to his place. Now, if it's his place, he must have been there before. Amen? Amen. So you see, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Judas Iscariot. I'm talking about the spirit of Judas. There's been a lot of the spirit of Judas in this world. Amen. I believe the spirit of Judas was in Pharaoh. God hardened his heart. Amen. He wouldn't repent. He wouldn't do what God had him to do. I believe Nimrod was a type of Judas Iscariot. Amen. He would done things contrary to God. And there's many, many more. If you look at the Word of God, that they were a spirit that had the spirit of Judas. I believe Cain had the spirit of Judas. When God made him opportunity to get things right and do things right. But he chose not to. Amen. It's energizing of the flesh that takes place. And we see this in the Bible. The Bible tells us here that there's one that Jesus lost, and he lost him on purpose. It was planned before the foundation of the world that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Amen. God Almighty knew what would need to be done. And God Almighty knew what the blueprint called for. And God Almighty hasn't deferred from it. Sure, Jesus called one into his midst that he knew was going to deceive him, betray him. He called one into his midst that he knew was unclean. Amen. He called one into his midst that he knew would fall. He'd fall from the ministry. He'd fall from the apostleship. He would fall on his face before a world. But he knew all about that. The one Jesus lost, he knew before the foundation of the world that he would be that one that was lost. Amen. He knew he'd be that one. It was one that would that God would use to send terror on the world. We see things happening today and we wonder how all this could be happening like it is. And it's pretty horrific. Amen. The things that you see, the videos you see, and I'll just be honest, I don't know how much of it's Hollywood and how much of it's real. Amen. They were saying the other day that these people was going against a building over there, and you could hear the director in the background say, now swing to the right and go shooting like these people there that you're trying to fight against. And it was all for show. Amen. But I want to say what God does, it ain't for show. What God does is for real, and it's like those scenes that we see in wars, it's terrifying. Amen. It's terrifying when we think about what is playing out before us. And Paul had told us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, remember ye not, verse 5, that when I was with you, I told you these things. One of these days we'll look back and we'll remember and say, you know what, I remember that little old preacher telling me about these things. The things that we'd seen to come to pass. It ought to scare us to death. It scared Daniel to death. Amen. If you look back in Daniel chapter number 8 and verse 33, Daniel chapter number 8 and verse 23, give me, you go 33, you won't find it. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23, and he says this, he said, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That's Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper by his hand. That's that witchcraft again that God hates. Amen. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, in his own heart. He's going to be lifted up in pride. He's going to say, I'm all that in a chunk of cheese. Amen. Praise God. And he said, by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. When he stands up against the Prince of Princes is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God Almighty will come on the scene. But notice Daniel in this vision, when he sees this man of sin, he sees this the man of perdition. Look what he says in verse 26. He said, "And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days." The Lord says, "Listen, Daniel." He said, "You saw this morning, you saw this evening what's going to take place." He said, "Go ahead and shut it up in a book." He said, "It's not for right now." He said, "But it's coming. It's for a day ahead. It's for many days ahead." He said, "But shut it up and know that it will come to pass." Because what he told Daniel in Daniel chapter 8 is part of God's blueprint. Praise God. He's going to finish it to the full.
Amen.
But notice what Daniel says in verse 27. "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days after I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it." Daniel said it. He said the vision of what was going to take place at the end of the days. He said it so upset me. It so upset Daniel that he fainted. He fell up and he became sick. He was sick, praise God, in anxiety. He was sick in the power of this one that was coming. It was coming and he couldn't. There was nothing that he could do about it. But all he could do was believe and trust in the Lord, because God Almighty had made him some promises, and Daniel had walked with God, and God had talked with God, and Daniel had been there with God, and they wasn't nothing. Listen, they was nothing that made Daniel afraid. He wasn't afraid of kings. He wasn't afraid of princes. He wasn't afraid of rulers. He wasn't afraid of authority. He wasn't afraid, him and his boys wasn't afraid of a fiery furnace. But when it come to this man of sin, when it come to the devil and the demons of hell, Daniel was afraid. Amen. He was afraid. Amen. He's afraid of that one. The one that Jesus had lost on purpose, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Amen. That was coming. He was coming. He's coming on the scene. He's going to make a big debut. Amen. He's coming on the scene. And he's coming. When his time has come, when it's time for him to come, he's going to step out. But boy, I tell you what, I said all that tonight to say this. The reason I'm telling you all this stuff is because, praise God, we're not going to be here.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be in heaven with Jesus, shouting and praising God around the throne of grace, thanking and praising Him that He's seen fit to save an old wretched sinner like us, that He'd take our sin upon Himself and become sin for us, so that we don't have to worry about this whole wicked one. See, Daniel, like the other prophets, he was looking across from mountaintop to mountaintop, but he couldn't see the valley of the church. Amen. He couldn't see those saints of God. He couldn't see the Gentile nations that would be born and brought into the kingdom of God. He couldn't see that. Amen. But praise God, he could see this fierceness of the Antichrist. He could see the fierceness of the one that would come with power and great might. He could see the destroyer of the people. See, there's going to be a time of Jacob's troubles when the little nation of Israel is going to be hammered like she's never been hammered before. She's went through a lot of battles, has the scars to prove it. But God Almighty said, "I'm going to bring her through another." Daniel saw that. Amen. He said, "He shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Talking about the Jew. And anybody else that's left behind. The devil's going to come against them. The one that Jesus lost. Amen. The man of sin and the son of perdition. Now that word perdition means that one that's lost and useless. Amen. Has no power to do what God would have, the way God could use him. Amen. But God's going to use him for His glory. And part of His blueprint. God's got it already mapped out. That man of sin will come on the scene. And boy, it ought to terrify our hearts to think that there's anybody that we know, family members, loved ones, children, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, that's not going to go out of here when He calls the church home. When He takes us out of here, praise God, to be with Him. And so the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why, the devil's turned loose to raise havoc in this world. Amen. like he's never done before. Can you imagine when he has free reign? When he has free reign, the devil just turns loose with everything he's got, knowing his days are numbered. Amen. He knows that the devil can quote you this book better than I can. Amen. He knows it by heart. That's why he takes it and twists it and takes it out of context. Why he'll take it and he'll just give you half-truths. And Daniel was worried in his heart. Amen. He made him sick to think what the devil could do with the ammunition he had when he was turned loose. Amen. That son of perdition. The one that Jesus lost. Amen. When the spirit of Judas Iscariot is turned loose. The one who denied and rejected, who transgressed and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I wonder, not in closing, I just had a thought. I wonder what, in his eye, what me and you would be worth. If Jesus was just worth 30 pieces of silver, what would you be worth? What would your children, your loved ones, brothers and sisters, family members, what would they be worth to Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, the devil? What would he be worth?